From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's Report Day, July the 10th, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And then, later in the program, we'll talk about the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard, the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. And along the way, we'll get Daryl Good's reaction to this morning's USDA WASDE reports. It all happens right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon, USDA report day. This is the way the numbers settled in Chicago. On this Friday, July futures in the wheat pit, 491 and three quarters, down 2.5 cents. For the soft red, September at 518 and three quarters, 3.5 lower. And December at 545 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. July hard red in Kansas City, $5.40. The settlement price, down 3 cents. In the corn pit back in Chicago, up 2 cents at 345 and a half for the July. September at 328 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. And December, the harvest month corn, $3.38, down 2 cents. March futures, 351 and a quarter, down 2 in the May contract at 360 and a half, down 1 3/4. From the soy complex, nearby July beans, $11.28 and a quarter, up 17 and 3/4. August at 1044 and 3/4, down 2 3/4. September off 1 1/4 at 971 and 3/4. But the November contract managed to gain or be up 1 at $9.17. January futures, 925 and a half, up 1 3/4. And the March soybeans, 929 and a quarter, up 2 3/4 on the day. Soybean meal, July contract, 80 cents higher at 372.30. The August at 344.80, down 220. July bean oil, 32.70, 12 higher. The August at 32.84, up 11. August live cattle, unchanged at 83.47 and a half. The October at 88.65, down 17 and a half. The August feeders at 102.92 and a half, 2.5 lower. September at 103.22 and a half, down 7.5, and the July lean hog futures today at $60.15 finished 45 cents higher for a Friday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. August crude oil futures, a settlement price 52 cents lower, down below 60 bucks on the settlement at $59.80 a barrel. August crude oil, $1.46.08, down 2 2/10. The natural gas at $3.37 is just about 3 9/10 lower at this hour. And the August contract in the Arabob still trading at $1.65 3/10, down 1 for the day. The August heating oil, diesel fuel, 0.3 cents lower at $1.53 1/10. And the propane at 67 8/10 now up 2 cents. Gold futures at $912.20. The settlement price there down $3.70 for the day. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 81.18 is down just about 64 points. The U.S. dollar 80.23 up 0.36. And the CRB index today is now trading at 12.46 lower. 233.40 is the trade for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight. In the south, partly cloudy skies, a chance of an isolated thunderstorm. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy showers, a few thunderstorms. Lows this evening from 63 in the northwestern part of Illinois to 72 in central and southern locations, says our own weather forecaster, Mike Sola. Tomorrow in the far north, becoming partly sunny. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Mike says tomorrow's high should be from 75 near Lake Michigan to 94 in the deep south. The extended forecast calls for rain that should shift into the southern locations by Sunday morning before another round of widespread precip develops early next week. This is expected to be followed by a weather pattern that will keep active weather across the northern parts of Illinois and Indiana. Some localized flooding is possible in the Illinois River Valley, but problems will be limited to the very lowest lying areas.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Friday afternoon. Mike Zuzulo from Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana, is on the line with us. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey there, Todd.
How are you today,
Mike? We're doing well, thank you.
Hey, you got to get in the vehicle and head this way for Commodity Week. We record at 4:30. It's going to be a quick run, especially because there's an hour time change between here and there this week, isn't there?
I've already got the Prius lined up with ethanol and the radar detector's already on, so the Batmobile's ready to go.
Get her done, baby.
That's funny. Oh my gosh, I suppose we probably ought to talk about the commodity markets just a little bit too. There were a lot of numbers out from USDA this morning, and maybe I'll go through some of the quick ones, the big ones, and then you can help define what that really meant. USDA says ending stocks for the current marketing year will now be 1.77 billion bushels for corn. The June estimate was 1.6. The 1.77 is above the average trade guess of 1.692. And then for next year, the ending stocks at 1.55 billion is about what the trade was guessing, but well above, of course, the USDA's June estimate because they increased acreage at 1.09 billion bushels. 110 million remains the carryout for soybeans on this current season or the marketing year we're currently in. And then for the crop that's in the ground, by the time we get to the fall of 2010, they say 250 million bushels will be left. When you took a look at the numbers and started breaking them out, what did you see that you liked and you didn't like?
Well, probably what we liked about the report most, Todd, was it probably confirmed for us that the outside markets are still kind of in the driver's seat with weather still sitting and being in the background of traders' minds at all times during this next 15 or 20 days. The report, I think the trade would have thought that a carryover of 1.5 or below in 09 corn carryover would have been looked upon as friendly, and a carryover of 250 or below in beans would have been looked upon as friendly. So we got a mildly negative corn ending stocks number, got a mildly positive bean ending stocks number. The tiebreaker, as has always been the case the past few months, has been the wheat. It got a pretty negative ending stocks number, up over 700 million bushels. When it was all said and done, it looks like that we're going to have 180 million tons of coarse grains ending stocks this year, 180 million tons of wheat ending stocks this year. That compares to about 140 in back in 2006 of coarse grains and about 155 million metric tons of wheat back in 2006. So we're running 15 to 30% in global ending stocks of wheat and corn over what we were running back in 2006, and the wheat chart is kind of showing us, I talked about this a little bit with you last week, the wheat chart's showing us, the report today confirms with us that although there may not be the need to go down real dramatically here in corn and wheat from here unless the outside markets get really ugly, the need to go back up to those old high price levels that we've been accustomed to the last 3 to 4 years also is going to be real tough to do at this point.
And the point, I guess, of that is that most of the world uses wheat as a feed grain as well as a food grain, unlike the United States where the feed grain really is corn, and it will cap corn prices.
That's exactly right, and I think that the wheat is the best barometer for the global trade because there are so many countries that import wheat and have to import wheat that if prices go down and you don't attract demand, that sets a tone for all of the major grains, except for, obviously, oil seeds because they kind of run a different type of demand schedule. But today's close in the wheat corn spread took the lead month wheat back below lead month corn, back below $1.50, closed at about $1.46 and a quarter. If that continues to leak towards $1.25, that's where your point is very, very germane and very, very important. So we don't want to see that. What we did like about today's close was the reversal, the new highs in D's corn, the new highs in Nov beans, and it was led by the front end. There's still some fight and some fire left in the July corn and the July beans. That was nice to see.
Speaking of the price, did you catch USDA's average cash price for corn in the coming season is, well above what current prices for corn market might be? So is the trade right or is USDA right?
No, I think the USDA's right. We've got the average cash price of corn and wheat also. It's currently now trading below our current U.S. Average price as well for 2009-2010. And that's a big reason why we feel like, number one, probably no need to go any lower unless the outside markets get sick again. And number two, if you're going to hedge, don't do it in the cash for the wheat and the corn now. Do it more with the futures or the bought puts is what we would recommend if we're going to need to hedge and put a floor underneath us.
We'll cut you short just a bit so you can get on the road. Any final word you want to make sure you get across before you head this way for Commodity Week?
I think that'll do it. We'll see you in a little bit.
All right. Thank you much, Mike.
You bet.
Mike Zuzlo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana at the moment, and we'll be in Champaign, Illinois by the time we start recording Commodity Week at 4:30 on a Friday afternoon. You can hear that program, which includes Mike and Steve Erdman, our guest from EFG, this evening at 6 o'clock. It will be posted to our website at willag.org just about that time. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up, a conversation I had this morning with U of I ag economist Daryl Good.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
USDA released some WASD numbers this morning, so now we have ending stocks for 09, updated ending stocks for 09, and updated ending stocks for the 09-10 crop as well. You know, it doesn't look like they changed. Well, they did do some changes, but it wasn't particularly outside of the range of what the trade expected.
No, it wasn't. I think there were maybe some creative accounting, particularly on the soybean numbers. As expected, we did see the USDA raise their estimate of both crush and exports for the current marketing year that ends the end of next month. They raised crush 10 million and exports 10 million, and one would think, well, that means a 20 million bushel cut in ending stocks. But they offset that by increasing the import estimate by 3 million bushels and reducing the estimate of residual or unexplained use by 14 million bushels. I think what that really says, and there was some evidence of that in the June stocks report, they probably won't change the production estimate for 2008, but this does suggest that the 2008 crop was 10 to 20 million bushels larger than currently estimated. And, you know, frankly, that's consistent with some of our yield models that would suggest that the 2008 yield was a bit higher than the official USDA number. Again, it's a talking point, but I don't think we'll see any changes in that number. It just underlines that we do have strong demand for soybeans, and we have tight ending stocks. Not a surprise, I guess, is the way you would frame it. Some changes, but really didn't perhaps change the overall picture. As you move to 09-10 marketing year on soybeans, obviously USDA had to reflect the higher acreage number in the June acreage report, and even though they did raise their forecasts of use next year a bit, that larger acreage does result in a larger forecast of ending stocks a year from now, jumping up to 250 million bushels. That's not a big number, and certainly it wouldn't take much of a change here and there to point to another year of pretty tight stocks. We're counting pretty big now on South America rebounding in 2010 from the very small crop they had this past year.
Let me go back and see if I can't summarize what's happened here in the last 2 weeks. The quarterly grain stocks report for soybeans, that is. So the quarterly grain stocks report showed us a pretty good sized number left in the bin at this point for soybeans, and you're telling me USDA took a look at that and decided, relatively speaking, took a look at it and decided to continue to use 110 as their ending stocks number, and they adjusted other things to make it all work properly. Is that right?
No, I wouldn't say that they started with the stocks estimate, ending stocks estimate. I think there was some evidence in the June quarterly disappearance numbers. Based on the June stocks number, you can calculate disappearance for the previous quarter. There was some evidence that the so-called residual use or unexplained use of soybeans was running smaller than normal. So USDA took that as a signal that use for the year in that category may be a bit smaller than normal. So that allowed them, even with larger forecasts of crush and exports, if we're using less in the unexplained category, that leaves year-ending stocks the same as last month. If you say, why is residual use running smaller than expected or smaller than normal, the obvious answer is that there was an error in the estimated size of the crop for 2008, that if use is small, suggested the crop was really bigger than estimated, and that would mean that if we had a bigger crop estimate, our estimate of residual use would be at a normal level. So it's a minor point, but it just underscores that use is good and that stocks are tight.
Okay, now let's go through the corn numbers. A 177 for carryover for this year. It was a 1.6, 1.55 for next year, and it was a 1.09, so there was a pretty good size adjustment there in the corn number for next year.
There really was. I mean, you can look at good news, bad news. On the good news side, USDA is looking at stronger exports of corn this year and next year than previously forecast. But some weakness in ethanol use of corn during the current year, with only 6 weeks left in the marketing year, USDA lowered their forecast of ethanol use of corn this year by 100 million bushels. So even though the export number jumped by 50, the feed number went down by 100, ethanol went down by 100, so we get some fairly large year-ending stock numbers on corn this year. So that means you're starting with a bigger number next year, and then you factor in the June acreage number, which was much larger than the March acreage figure, and so it gives you a much larger crop expectation for 2009. And even though USDA did raise their estimate of total consumption next year marginally, it did result in a much larger forecast of year-ending stocks. But importantly, that forecast of 1550, $1,550,000,000, is 220 million less than we're starting the year with. So using the current yield estimate of 153.4 bushels, USDA sees the year ahead as one when we will draw inventories down from what we had this year. I think the rub at this point is the 153.4 yield expectation, now the correct expectation for 2009. I think the market is clearly trading a bigger number at this point. And as a result, you know, when the USDA makes a price forecast for next year, even the low end of their range is above what the market is offering now for the 2009 crop. And it says to me that the market is trading a much bigger production number than what the USDA is using in their balance sheet right now.
Does your mind tell you which one's right at this point?
You know, I think I come out middle ground. I do think, based on conditions as of today and assuming that we have a normal summer and that we don't have any early end to the growing season, that we have a good August and a favorable September, I would look for the yield to come in a bit higher than the 153.4 that the USDA is currently using, maybe 154, 155. I think there is some expectation in the trade that we could be closer to 160, maybe approaching the record yield of 2004. Seems to me we're a little premature in making that kind of judgment, but perhaps a bit bigger than what USDA is estimating at this time.
What did USDA put the estimates down for middle ground or for the range on a cash price of corn and soybeans?
For corn, for the 09 marketing year, in a range of 335 to 415. So the midpoint of that is 375. And on soybeans, in a range of 830 to 1030. So it would be a $9.30 price compared to $10 for the year just ending. And again, the midpoint of that at 930 is above what the market is offering right now for the 09 crop. So maybe some evidence that both the corn and soybean markets have declined a little too much for the time being. Whether ultimately prices need to go higher or lower will depend on the yield that we actually experience this year. And there's different expectations about that right now. And we'll get the first official reading next month when the USDA does its August crop production report.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Daryl Good, Ag Economist from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Friday afternoon. We're always joined by Bruce Bostert. He's the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company's 10 Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Let's start off with rainfall and conditions in your area. What'd you see for the week?
We saw rain. Accumulation all over the place, but in general, plenty of rain. Usually coming just about as we were ready to get back in and combine wheat. We'd make a round or two, a truck would come in, and then it'd rain again. So it won't wait to let us get back into the wheat harvest.
Yeah, USDA did make note of that, actually, in its report this morning, that wheat harvest is really running sharply behind usual, especially in the soft red winter wheat areas.
And getting to the point of getting nervous. I mean, wheat doesn't like wet feet. You keep pushing off harvest, you end up seeing test weight problems and, worst case scenario, sprouting problems, which gets ugly in a hurry.
Well, we'll have to wait that one out and see what it has to say. How's the corn crop look?
Very variable. Went to Bloomington the other evening and saw corn anywhere from 3 inches tall to tasseling. So on the hour drive on Route 9, that was a pretty wide variation.
Yeah, I just made the trip from Monticello 4-H camp back to Muhammad and the back roads, and you could see the same thing in a 25-minute ride. It was just, it's a very unusual-looking year. Some of the corn really looks good, and the rest of it doesn't look all that well. I suppose it may get the opportunity to catch up.
There's low spots. There's some compaction problems out there. I had one guy telling me you can drive down the road and tell how big a planter a man had just by looking at the compaction problems in the field, and that's never a good sign.
That doesn't sound like one at all.
Basis has been coming back some. With the board going down, we keep seeing the basis come up on corn. Beans, just the opposite. Lower nearby and better on the new crop.
Well, that's interesting. Why better on the new crop?
I think just because of a lack of cash movement out there, and we're seeing the spread. We got to a $3 inverse and started seeing that spread collapse.
Your bids for the day are?
We are at $3.25 on corn and $10.90 on soybeans.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And that is Bruce Bostert. He's the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company's 10 locations in central Illinois. Back in 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
It's National Sugar Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1766, Jacob Perkins was born. Perkins was issued the first U.S. patent for a refrigerating machine. It used sulfuric ether compression. In 1792, S.L. Mitchell was named as the first professor of agriculture at Columbia College in New York City. In 1808, Samuel Parker patented the leather splitting machine. In 1815, the first natural gas well in the U.S. was discovered by accident near Charleston, West Virginia, while digging salt brine wells. In 1869, Henry Tibby invented the corncob pipe. By the way, the pipe was made from a special type of white kernel corn that was used to make taco and tortilla flour. In 1894, Percy LeBaron Spencer was born. Spencer developed the microwave oven in 1946 after he noticed that some chocolate in his pocket had melted. Spencer deduced the candy melted not due to body heat, but rather exposure to radiation from a magnetron tube. And in 1996, Douglas Chapman died. A Canadian-born U.S. mathematical statistician, Chapman did extensive research on fish farming, and he developed quantitative methods aiding in the management of fisheries. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. It was a cool and mostly quiet first full week of July across Illinois. After a wet Independence Day, a ridge of high pressure brought cooler weather to most of the state. Temperatures this week averaged 5 to 7 degrees below normal, although it did start to warm up by the end of the week. Several days of dry weather followed up to 2 inches of rain across much of Illinois on the 4th of July. An upper-level disturbance crossing from northwest to southeast in Illinois on Wednesday and Wednesday night brought some locally heavy rain to a broad swath from the Quad Cities through central Illinois to southeastern Illinois. Amounts in excess of 2 inches were reported in some locations, with more than 2.5 inches in Jasper County. The weather over the next week or more is likely to be dominated by northwest flow aloft across Illinois and the eastern Midwest. This will bring a chance for showers and thunderstorms to much of the state, at least for the first half of next week. A frontal system could sag south through Illinois at midweek and bring a couple of days of fair weather. Temperatures next week will likely continue to be near to slightly below normal. The exception to this may be in southwestern Illinois, where temperatures could be quite a bit warmer along and south of the frontal boundary. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Now you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. As you gather, Steve Hilberg is away from his office. He did manage to leave us a bit of what the weather forecast was like and looked at over the past week. Here's what the weather forecast from our own on-staff forecaster, Mike Sola, had to say for tonight in the south. He says partly cloudy skies across the two-state region of Illinois and Indiana with a chance of isolated thunderstorms. Elsewhere should be mostly cloudy, a few showers, some thunderstorms. Lows will range, says Mike, from 63 in northwestern Illinois to 72 in central and southern locations. And then tomorrow in the far north, becoming partly sunny, elsewhere mostly cloudy, scattered showers, some thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow from 75 near Lake Michigan and 94 in the deep south. The extended forecast says rain will shift into southern locations by Sunday morning before another round of widespread rain develops early next week. That's expected to be followed by a weather pattern that will keep active weather across the northern parts of Illinois and Indiana. Some localized flooding is possible, especially in the Illinois River Valley. Temperatures will range from below average in the north to near average in central and southern locations. And the extended forecast, of course, says crop development conditions should be favorable in most areas. Just as a reminder, don't forget to tune in for our Commodity Week program. You can always pick it up on our website at willag.org. We record at Friday afternoons at 4:30 Central Time and post by about 6 o'clock to the website at willag.org. Our guest this week will be Steve Erdman of EFG. Ellen Dearden will be here. She's coming in from Morton, Illinois. Mike Zuzulo from Risk Management out of Lafayette, Indiana, will be on hand with us in studio, as well as Dan Zwicker of the ADM Grain Group. He's coming out of Decatur, so it should be a good program. Be sure to tune in if you get the opportunity, or listen on the web at willag.org. This has been the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.